Sports Radio. Happy Saturday to you. John Williams here for a real long show. I'm going to be on for about 37 minutes today. And I'm sorry it's not two full hours. But we'll take what we can get. We've got Northwestern Wildcat basketball coming your way. They take on SIUE. I'm a big fan of the Butler basketball Bulldogs. They played SIUE, and they played us pretty well. Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. I used to live on that campus. They're a D1 school now. So hopefully the Wildcats don't take this one for granted. SIUE and the Wildcats at 1:45, you heard the pregame here on WGN Radio. So let's get rolling. By the way, this week on Wednesday at 12:08, I called my friend Steve Bertrand. And he answered the phone exactly this way. He picked up his phone right away and said, "I host the noontime Wintrust Business Hour." And I looked at my watch and I said, "Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'll talk to you later." He said yes and clicked off.
See what happens when you give a guy a little bit of airtime?
I'm telling you, I felt so stupid and bad. And I thought it was so funny how he answered the phone, because he saw my name populate on his phone. And he goes, "Oh, what a doof, John. He's calling me at 12:08, and he knows I do a noontime radio show." I called my brother today, and he picked up the phone this way. He said, and I'll quote him exactly. He said, "I'm getting a pedicure with my daughter in Manhattan, Kansas." That's how he answered the phone. And I said, "So this is a bad time to talk?" And he said, "Yep," and hung up on me. So a little while later today, my phone rings, and the top of the screen says Northern California. And I think, who's calling me from Northern California? Then I remember my old producer, our friend Beth Swerk, lives in the San Francisco area. And I said, "I'll bet she's got a Northern California phone, and she's calling me." And so, tutored as I was on the art of the phone pickup quip this week, I answered the phone with the quip I love to use, which is "Flintstones meet the Flintstones." And there's a long pause, and I realize it wasn't Beth Swerk. It was a lady from a company calling about a light fixture we'd ordered. And she didn't know what to do with "Flintstones meet the Flintstones." And so she just says, "Could I speak to a Brenda?" And I didn't want to explain to her, you know, you really can't go back and tell her what the Flintstones things was. So I said, "Well, here's Brenda's number. Call Brenda." But if you really want to know me, you should know this, that this week I've been driving a Mercedes C300 4MATIC for a dealer. I've been test driving this really wonderful, cool, fast, sexy, quiet car. And I had a dentist appointment. So I go to the dentist, and I'm sitting in the dentist chair. You know, I park the car in the parking lot, and I get my wallet, my phone, and my keys, and I get out of the car, and I go in, and I'm sitting in the chair there, and I'm looking out the big glass wall window, and I see exhaust coming out of the car that I drove. And I realize that I've left the car on. And I don't want to tell the hygienist that, so I just say to her, "I have to leave now, but I'll be right back. I just have to go to my car for a second." And I think she thinks I've got to go get my phone, and I'm not one of those people. So I said, "It's not my phone, but I just have to do something." And she said, "Okay, so let's take your bib off." So she took my bib off, and I ran out to the car, and I turned it off, and then I came back in. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we spoke no words about what had transpired. I simply got back in the chair, and we continued to do whatever it is that we needed to do. Why do I tell you these stories? So that if this week you do something dumb or redundant, remember, at no point in this week did you probably answer the phone, "Flintstones meet the Flintstones," or get out of a running car and forget to turn it off. But that was part of my week this week. Okay, so now let's pause for a second. I want you to hear part of the Mincing Rascals podcast. The Mincing Rascals is what we call the collection of Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn, and Kristen McQuarrie, and me, and we do a podcast every week. We post it on Fridays. It's up there right now. And in it, the gang was talking about the fate of Anita Alvarez. I thought what they had to say was fascinating, spot on, and spirited. You'll hear that next here on WGN.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. May your heart be light. a year our troubles will be out of sight. From now on.
Boy, we need music like this time of year.
Have yourself.
Especially this year. John Williams here on WGN Radio. Pre-game coverage of Northwestern Wildcat basketball comes your way at 1:45. Joey Meyer and Dave Bennett with the call at 2 on WGN. So here's what the Mincing Rascals were talking about. A couple of things, but what you're about to hear involves what happened last fall. Laquan McDonald shot dead by Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke. Now, the focus of that shooting this week has come to Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez. Why did it take her office over 400 days to file charges? And should she resign? Will this affect her reelection? People are asking questions like that. So we'll pick it up with the Mincing Rascals here. That means Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune, Eric Zorn, and our own Steve Bertrand. And in this clip, McQuarrie is making the point that Alvarez has a huge office, lots of cases, and many, many of them involving people of color.
Anita Alvarez every day is dealing with, you know, 20 rape cases and 50 domestic violent cases, maybe more. She has a huge office to run. And so when the feds step in, I almost think it's sort of a relief. It takes a little pressure off because they do have greater resources. And we learned from the manager of the Burger King, where there was where some of the surveillance video was missing, that he testified before the grand jury earlier this year. So the case was kind of moving along. And as to the FOP contract, I just read part, this section of it before I walked up here. And the police officer, there is a whole chain that sort of discipline goes through in a grievance process. And so I don't necessarily think that she dropped the ball. I think the timing when she did finally jump out clearly was, I don't want to say political, but it was part of the, you know, we're going to release this video and we're going to need to tamp down whatever type of violence.
I don't mind that as a motive. Yeah. I mean, if you can do something that's inevitable and you do it now to keep the violence from going too high, sure.
But had there not been a video released, John, and none of this had been, you know, forced prematurely, that's the wrong word, but by this clock, and had it all come out when the feds came out with their charges, you know, maybe 4, 6, 8 months from now, you know, we wouldn't be having the dispute, right? I mean,
Would there be even charges? I mean, it would be.
Well, and that's not my point. My point is the release of the video. I mean, we're up in arms now because we've seen the video release. Had the video not been released, there would have been more patience for an ongoing, even more lengthy investigation, I think.
So
it's because of the filing and the court-ordered release of the video that all of this, you're looking at me oddly, Kristen.
Oh, am I? No, this is just my resting bitch face. I'm sorry.
It's 2 weeks in a row I got that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Steve, here's my question then.
I get it every day.
if she loses the election, Steve, as a result of this, will that be unfair?
No, not at all. That's what voters do. Voters,
I know that, but you guys are sounding like you're circling the wagons around Anita Alvarez.
Two things. No, you asked,
where's the outrage?
You asked if she should resign. And I think the three of us agree that, no, she should not resign over this. This is what elections are about. And there's going to be a primary, you know, pretty quickly. We know this is what elections are about because the sponsor of her chief opponent in the primary has been her loudest critic in her official capacity. Right. I mean, Tony Preckwinkle was very quick to come out and blast Alvarez. It's Preckwinkle's former chief of staff who's been put up or who is running against Alvarez. So, you know, I some of the people calling for Alvarez's resignations, their motives are not altogether pure either.
Not pure at all, really. I mean,
altogether unpure is what I meant to say.
I want to be clear. I think she should have acted with more dispatch. I think there should have been more urgency in her presentation. She was furious yesterday. She showed more passion about this case yesterday in defending herself than she showed about this kid getting gunned down in the street.
The majority of those victims being minority, and to be portrayed in this light by seasoned politicians with political agendas is disgusting and it's degrading. I'm going to continue to be the Cook County State's Attorney, and there's no way that I would ever even consider resigning.
I think she should have acted faster. I think it's legitimate to hold that against her. I mean, I am saying that I don't think it's a firing offense that she took this long to do this, but I'm not saying that I'm happy with it. It's like,
no,
oh,
I
that's
agree
okay.
With you.
I think it should have been done faster, and I think the mayor needed to respond with more urgency and more passion about this back when, not now. But
Boy, she's going to have to mount a hell of a campaign, because one of her detractors said in the Chicago Tribune today that it's not just the execution of justice, but it's the perception of justice. If people don't believe that her office or she are acting fairly, then she's got to get ahead of that and convince people that they are, because perception becomes reality.
Well, that's what happened to Gary McCarthy. Right?
Oh, I mean, really? Well, okay. Well, let's do that for a second. You don't think Gary McCarthy should have lost his job?
I think that perception got ahead of
reality. No, based on merit alone. Merit alone.
He was not. Otherwise, he was not doing a bad job as police superintendent.
How did something like that get covered up that long, and you tell me he's doing his
job? I agree that he should have been out in front of that. He should have changed things more than he did. But Mayor Emanuel expressed full confidence in him like less than a week ago.
Yeah, well, he flipped in a day.
He expressed full confidence in him when he fired him. I mean,
I know.
Didn't he? I mean, didn't
he?
He did. So wonderful guy. He's doing great work. And
I think one of the things Anita Alvarez will have to do if she's going to win, and let me just say two things. One, she is a career prosecutor, and I like having someone leading that agency who has prosecutorial experience. We typically get a politician who knows nothing about how to win a case, or I like having someone in charge of the Cook County State's Attorney's Office who's actually done the work, and I don't think either of her other people running against her have. And
Kim Fox has.
Well, she's an attorney, but
she was a prosecutor.
She was a prosecutor.
She was
okay,
off, yeah.
I stand down. Kim Fox was a prosecutor at some point. Now she's chief of staff to Tony Preckwinkle. The other thing is that Anita pointed out yesterday that I think is a fair point. As the prosecutor for Cook County, she is defending every single day mostly minority victims of crime. And so this shroud around her that somehow she was being racist or she was ignoring the needs of the minority community, she needs to be very clear that every day she is in court fighting for victims of crime who are overwhelmingly minority in this county.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific point, and I don't know how she's going to keep that in people's ears, because I think that's fair. I think that sounds fair, Kristen. But here's my last question to you guys before we move on to a different topic, and that is, there's a lot of bad things about this, so where do we begin? Maybe McCarthy had to go, maybe he didn't. Maybe Alvarez has to go, maybe she doesn't. But what's the central problem with the Laquan McDonald case? I mean, Steve, if you're going to start somewhere, what is it? Greater transparency, quicker prosecution time, union rules with the cops have to be changed? What?
Well, if I can further surprise Kristen, I say it's the big union bosses. No, I mean,
Merry Christmas, Kristen.
Oh my goodness, be still my beating heart.
She lost her bitch face.
It's back.
And it's back.
No, I think there are a lot of problems with this collective bargaining contract. The fact that this guy should have been fired that day.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he was able to stay on and be paid for over a year is outrageous. You know, short of being charged with the crime, just the video of that bad action should have been enough for him to lose his job. So there's a collective bargaining issue here. I'm most worried about what we're going to find out from this federal investigation about his fellow officers, you know, because they were all standing there. They all saw it. Did they take some of this Burger King video? I still don't think I completely understand that. Was there this sort of conspiracy of silence to protect a guy who gunned down someone with 16 shots? That's what worries me the most about this whole thing.
You know what I'm worried about, too, is what that Ronald Johnson video is going to show, because the same month, another young black man was shot down. That video is going to be released, and it's possible that that will look, you know, unprovoked as well.
It's possible that we're going to be talking next week on this show about the very same, about Ronald Johnson III in that video. Yeah,
and that officer also assigned to desk duty.
That's Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune, editorial writer and columnist. Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune, the columnist, of course. And our own Steve Bertrand. All of that podcast at WGNradio.com, well, WGNplus.com. It's also posted on my Facebook page. At Facebook, I'm King John. Two points about that conversation. One, obviously we recorded that Friday before the page one story this morning in the Chicago Tribune about the police reports at the Laquan McDonald shooting and what fiction some of them were. It was stunning. And another point to make is that while Kristen McQuarrie does suffer from RBF, she actually has a delightful smile, and she usually looks most pleasant. All right, we'll pause here. Let's catch you up on the news and then talk about something else on WGN.
We travel in a one-horse open sleigh. Now that it's Christmas time.
Thank you, Sue. Young. And thank you, Rob. John Williams getting ready for Northwestern basketball. Pregame coverage in about 5 minutes here on WGN Radio. Rob, I just heard the most troubling news.
Oh, my goodness, what?
This is your last Saturday with me?
Unless something changes next week, which in this business you know can happen. Yeah, this will be my last Saturday with you, unfortunately.
It's me, isn't it, right?
Not at all.
You've been complaining every week. You said, Williams, no more.
In fact, it's you that kept me coming back on Saturdays.
Well, that's nice of you to say. So yeah. What's the deal? You're going to be on weekdays?
The deal is that the shift is changing. I will be on from 4:30 p.m. until 12:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. I was lucky enough to get full time from our management crew here. The caveat was that I was going to work Saturdays for a period of time, and that period has come to an end.
So you're doing afternoons doing the news, huh?
Doing the news, yeah. I'll be in here with Judy while she's anchoring the afternoon drive, and then I'll start my regular anchor shift from 7 to midnight.
It's me, isn't it? You
Not
said you didn't want to work with me anymore.
I can tell it in your
voice. You've never liked a minute of this.
All right. Not at all. You know that. I enjoy working with you a great deal.
Yeah, I think you do, and I like working with you. So, congratulations are
in order.
Thank
you. One of these days, I'm going to hogtie Steve Bertrand, and I'm going to step into his place in that Mincing Rascals thing you do. I really enjoy it.
You know, so we've got our four, and every now and then somebody can't make it, and you've done it with us before, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I've been itching to do
so. I got to get you on the short list.
Absolutely.
If that works out for your schedule and you can do that, man, we'd love to have your thoughts and input.
Let me know.
Did you see that Marilyn Haggerty has reviewed Subway? She's the lady, the little old lady that reviews restaurants for the Grand Forks Herald that did the Olive Garden, and everybody laughed. And I said, don't laugh. It was a nice review, and it was sweet. And it is what it is. You know, she's this little old lady in Grand Forks. They were excited that they got an Olive Garden, so she went over there and wrote about it. And I think some people were derisive when they read those reviews and laughed. I laughed, but it was an endearing sort of chuckle. I'm about to read to you her Subway review, so when you hear me laughing, know that I'm not being mean, okay?
Go for it.
Well, I don't have time to read it all. But she did write, New York, this isn't. But you can find a Subway running around Greater Grand Forks without much trouble. There are 10 of the sandwich places licensed here now. So four of us could easily agree on Subway for a lunch together. The most popular sandwich around here is turkey. The accompaniments are endless. Our sandwiches were constructed to suit our tastes at the shop on Columbia Road, where there are 20 employees. The manager, Andrew Gorin, says the place is busy between 7 a.m. and midnight. The sandwiches are made up according to the customer's preference of an array of condiments. You know, she writes her review sort of like for people who have never been out of their homes, who have never seen how one of these little shops work. Maybe you've been driving by them all these years, wondering what that smell is. It's food, and they serve it in these places, and she's now telling you what's going on in there. While Subway shops, she writes, are waiting with ham, chicken, and beef, Gorin says turkey is the number one choice, and there's a 6-inch turkey version that goes for $4.50. Drinks are extra, so are the cookies. And as the weather grows colder, more customers look to Subway for chili, broccoli cheese, or a creamy potato soup. With an eye to the busy holidays ahead, Subway shops are promoting 50% more meat for a sandwich for 50 cents. Like many national food chains, Subway is bulwarked online by all of the information you could possibly want. There are serving sizes, calorie counts, and cholesterol reports. Not once in the review does she say if she liked her sandwich or not. And I don't know if that's conspicuously absent, her telling us if the food was good or not. I just want to say, you know, if I were her editor, I'd say, Marilyn, another solid review. But if you could tell us if the food was good, that would help. Because most people know that they will cook your sandwich to your order with an array of condiments. That's not new. Did you like your turkey sandwich, Marilyn? The world will have to wait maybe for her follow-up when she goes back. Because, you know, the real critics, they'll go to a restaurant 3, 4, 5 times. So maybe this is preliminary to her passing any solid judgment on her Subway turkey sandwich. All right, we're out of time. Listen, I hope you can tune me in on Facebook at facebook.com/KingJohn. There you will find the Mincing Rascals podcast with all of the details there of what the gang was talking about. Incidentally, at the end of the podcast, when we do these Mincing Rascals reports, and they're at WGNplus.com as well, we all make a recommendation. We all say, okay, here's something I'm watching, reading, or listening to that I think you might enjoy. And one thing that I just caught up on is that Narcos TV show. I don't know if you watched that. I didn't mention it in the podcast, but I thought that was just terrific. My recommendation also includes Beautiful, the Carole King musical. I saw the cast that's in Chicago right now, and I just think that show's really, really fun. So that's it for the John Williams Show this week. Northwestern Wildcat basketball comes your way next here on WGN.